I must say, like, where you live is absolutely beautiful. Can you describe what we're seeing?
That's Cape Clear. There's a rock there. That's the Gashkanan. That sound going out. Shirkin is there behind the Paulin, but it's in the same line as Cape Clear. The water of the city Cape now is always known as the North Bay. The North Bay. Kind of way up that direction now is the eastern end of Roaring Water. Little harbour is in there now. That's the western end of the Tapaherse Island, like over them trees now.
And is there anything there you can tell me that will tell you what the weather will be like today or tomorrow?
The weather is settled at the moment anyway. There is nothing too mighty bad looking, but there's very little clouds to look at now today. There's a break of cloudiness there. Look over the Gashkanan, that's the name of that sound.
Is a gap between two islands.
That could develop, like.
And over Mount Gabriel, you'll always see the clouds come down over just before, like, it'll change to rain.
Born and reared in Herse Island in 1941. And there was four families living in the island. We had no school or no church. We had nothing, even a shop. Yeah. So we all left it. We were the last to leave it in 1965. And we're living up here since.
And you came, where did you go to school?
Ross Bryn.
How'd you get there?
My father had to bring us out with the two wards, like, you know. And he'd lend us out and to the boat of two-thirds of a mile, it said. And that's where we got the mighty education I have, right?
And what
we
did your father do?
In the winter. Oh. My father done farming. My mother and himself used to milk 7 or 8 cows by hand, separate the milk, make butter, sell it. And my father used to save hay and cut hay with the side of the ladder in, but we had a mowing machine afterwards. The we used to draw water from a well, you know.
Who's this here?
That's Ollie. No?
Ollie. He's our golden retriever.
Anyway, and they would sell that, and then she'd have guinea fowl, and she'd have a lot of geese, and she would have about 100 hens. Yeah. Because she would make cakes out of them.
Yeah.
My mother never left the fire quench. For us, was something had to put the bread on the table, you know. My mother and father, they buried 3 of my siblings.
Out of 5 of you?
Yes. The last Gedleen died of TB in 47 or 8.
So who was left in your family?
My father and mother and myself and Connie.
Your brother Connie?
My brother.
Yourself and Connie used to fish as well?
We used. We had an old 3.5 sat boat seagull. It was about 53. We got it. And would you believe, it was the very same to us as if we had a helicopter. No.
Yeah.
Very same.
Mary was saying that when you were growing up and you were farming and you were fishing, that you learned an awful lot about how to tell the weather from looking at nature.
Definitely you would, like, and even today, you know, like, you'd always know 12 hours before you get strong wind or a bit more.
By looking
at the sky.
How?
Well, there'd be mazy old colour in it, you know, dark haze in the sky, like, and there'd be clouds coming in a different direction. I always know if the wind was going south because the clouds would be going north, like, right? And would you believe before ever you would get any breeze of wind, we'd say, and that just going to come from the south. The nets would go ashore. There'd be drift nets, like.
The pressure of the water.
Coming towards
so
the shore.
So they know that there's something coming.
So you would know too if we're going to get a bad breeze, because there's always a dirty haze in the sky, and the old people used to call it a colour of lead. There'd be a leady colour behind the actual sky. But you would know sky changes colour, like, and the formation of the clouds changes, and you would always know nearly to a T which way the wind was going to come from.
It's very changeable here all the time.
Yeah.
It's never set. And if it does settle, it takes an awful long time to break it. Yeah. But if it's bad, it takes an awful long time to settle it.
Another thing is, like, if there's anything untoward coming, they would be out and ring around the sun, right? And then in the night time, if we had a moon, there'd be a ring in the moon, and as sure as day follows night, the ring would be opened in one patch. I never see a ring in the moon yet that was full, and wherever the opening would be, you would have the wind that way and next day. Definitely. There was an old fable, but I wouldn't take the book on this. You know, the black divers.
Yes.
They hear my father sing half the time. They're seafaring birds. Like
gannets?
No, the gannets are different.
Cormorants?
Yes, that's the proper name for them, I'd say. He said whatever way them cormorants are flying, the wind will come after them. That's what even your man
that wrote
Now to the Mission one time, that man is dead now, Pat McCarthy.
It's a good book, all right.
Is he good at telling the weather?
Brilliant. He'd just go up to the top of the hill and he'll have a look around and he'll come down and he'll ring me then and he'll say, look out the window now, west there, and there's a fine blister over by the sun, west or east of the sun.
Really
I wouldn't see it at all. I'd get up then and have a look and I'd see it and I'd take a picture of it because it's so rare. And after you'd see that, then about maybe 4 to 6 days, you'd get a very bad storm, like, or heavy, real heavy rain
weather.
And gales.
You see, the blister, it's an end of a rainbow.
So it's a nickname the old people had for the now sun dog. Yeah. That's the official scientific name for it, where the sun shines through particles.
In a shower now, you could see a rainbow here in the spring of the year at any time, like.
Yeah.
And as you know, you'll probably see rainbows. There'd be 6 or 7 colours in the moon.
7, yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's about the size of your thumb, this blister. But you'd always know it for, you'd pick up 2 or 3 colours on you.
Yeah.
But the colour of the sun makes a huge difference
as
well.
Yeah, it's pale. If the sun is pale.
If it's pale or cream or white,
it's not white.
Great.
Yeah, it's the atmosphere have to do with it. Right?
Yeah. And the more deeper the orangey, the sun, more beautiful the weather.
The old people used to say that in the anticyclone, as you know, when the weather gets right fine, the wind would be west of the sun before 12 o'clock.
And that's so true.
The sun would
come. That does happen.
The sun would come from here, like. But the wind goes around with the sun, right? And it would be west of the sun before 12 o'clock if it was going to last in east.
And if it was going to be a real nice day. So we now, Monday and Tuesday, that happened here.
Yeah.
So what he means about going around with the sun was the sun rises in the east and travels to the west, so it'll be going towards the south, and then it goes down in the west, right? So during the morning, the wind will be east. In the 12 o'clock, it'll be south.
Yeah.
And then in the evening time, as it sets, the wind will be west.
It'll go west,
and that's a pure sign of beautiful weather.
Fine weather.
Which we have now, thank God.
Thank God.
And so how would you know the weather's going to turn bad then?
Well, it wouldn't do what I'm saying anyway. You know, no, it wouldn't be following the sun. Another thing is, what makes the bad gales is if you have high pressure around here, and if you have a big low in Denmark, the low pressure area works against the sun, right? And the fine weather area, two of them works like this, right? That's what puts the thrust behind the wind if we get a bad winter storm. There's a low somewhere, and there's a high opposite in some direction, especially in the winter time when the pressure drops. That's the way it works anyway. Away back in time, the people that were fishing mackerel, they'd have 40-foot boats, maybe, or a bit better. And they'd be maybe have 40 nits aboard them, maybe 100 metres in each net, right? Probably they'd be 20 miles off the line of the Cape. And we'd shoot them in about half an hour, but to get them back in, it would take about 4 hours. So that was the danger. If we shot them at the wrong time,
gale would come.
Well, you'd be afraid you couldn't get the nits, the gear. You wouldn't like to lose the gear either, like. You know, it would take 3 or 4 hours to haul. And that was the pressure they were under. That I remember one evening we were with Jack Brino, this man next door, one time. Anyway, Paddy Hart said to Jack, he said, it was raining mad and just calm. I can hear him saying it still. He said, calm wind and wet rain is a bad sign. They were just finished shooting and your man Jack turned the road and went hauling, but still, they didn't make it because it wasn't a gale before they were finished hauling. And along with that, the boat they had that time, it was a windlass. They had no power, merely from the engine.
Mary, you grew up listening to all of this between Connie and your dad, and you were kind of trained from the age of six to read the weather.
But I'm not educated in any way of meteorological. It's all handed down.
When you were out fishing, you'd be asking her to keep an eye on the weather. Yeah. Tell me about that.
So when I was six, Dad and my uncle would go fishing, and they wouldn't be in for the news. So there was no phones that time. So they'd sit me down on a stool, say, stay there, get the forecast. So when I was six, I knew north, west, south, and east. I knew the strength of the wind, the direction it was coming from. Like, I knew it was always in miles per hour at that time. So if it was force five, it'd be 5 miles an hour. That'd be 25 miles an hour strength and wind. So I'd go out to be force five from the southwest. And I was six. And to this day, I have to look at the forecast like I'm addicted to it.
And so they'd come home from fishing and they'd ask you what the weather was
tomorrow,
for the next day.
For the following day. And then I suppose the snow in 2010, I really got into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we had, I suppose the iPhones came up more then, and we had more access to more information. So there used to be people texting me, can we go out this evening for an hour or will it rain? And then I said, why don't I just do 3 or 4 sentences every day so people can work around this? And so that's how it took off. And my son and daughter always said to me, why don't you do your own weather page? And I said, no, because what if I get it wrong? Or, you know, you'd be afraid. And then they said, here, go on. Because I was getting loads and loads of friend requests on private page, and I didn't want people going to my private page on Facebook, so I went away and we opened it up, Mary's Mizzen Weather, and just try give a bit of a forecast every day, friend on holidays with their kids, work out when you can put out the clothes or when you can spread slurry or anything like that. Exactly. I have farmers ringing me, can they cut silage, imagine. So no pressure. I'm sure I have 3,000 followers now, and anyone local that comes tells other people, and it's all word of mouth.
You met Joanna Donnelly.
I did, actually. Yeah, I met her.
You met Joanna Donnelly.
Joanna Donnelly. Yeah, she was writing her book at the time on the headlands of Ireland.
Yes.
So she was going down to Mizzenhead, and then she was going on to Valencia from here, and met her for coffee. She's a lovely person, and she's so well educated. It's incredible.
And did she know about your page?
When Storm Ophelia came in 2016, one of the girls in school, her little girl was only about 8 or 9 then, and she wrote a letter thanking her for the raid warning to save her granda fishing. So she wrote back a letter and they kept in contact. So when she went to the Mizzen, she rang the girl's mum then to meet up. Mm-hmm. So she knew, her mum then knew that I was into the weather. She says, do you want to meet John Donnelly? I said, are you joking? Of course I do. So we all met then. It was lovely, but it was an awful day. Oh, there was hailstone and thunder and lightning, and it was awful. So she nearly got blown off the Mizzen.
Yeah.
But I have a fear. I love birds. I love everything about nature. You'd be worried about the climate change, like, and an awful lot of people say to me, oh, sure, it's roasting today. How can there be like climate change? Or it's freezing all winter or whatever. You see, it's such a long process, climate change. Things we do today affect something in 10 years' time. Like, even the gulls now outside, before, if you see gulls coming in, you could say, oh, there's a storm. You can't do that anymore because the gulls are starving because there's not enough fish. It's overfished. Like, it's the weather isn't great for them. So they're coming in and we're feeding them.
Correct.
So now they're really love coming into the land. Now, they're here all the time.
They're frequenting the towns and cities especially.
Way more.
Yeah.
So you can't go by that sign anymore. That's gone.
Are there other signs that you see that are worrying you?
The only thing I can say is that I did a bit of fishing now in the shrimp season. Actually, it is open now, but
would you see the shrimp or less?
Oh, sure, yes. But it's a nightmare now too, for this to me, the congested too much.
Yeah.
And do you think people just have lost touch with nature?
Oh, definitely. They have a shred, you know. They say if you will catch shrimp in the winter time in the deep, That's the time the shrimp are spawning. And the fishermen would tell me that that's the marsh where they get more money for them because the spawn would make them heavier. Well, if we kill the goose, that's letting them go on the lake.
How are you
see?
Going to have fish next year then?
Well, you mightn't have them, they mightn't be finished, but it will make them scarce anyway.
Exactly.
And in the olden days, would they not fish when the shrimp were spawning?
No. They hadn't the gear to go out, number one. Or they hadn't the gear heavy enough to they'd lose them, you know.
They respected nature more, though.
They did, yeah. They did.
But what actually they do is they trawl for sprat, right? So everything is taken out and there's no fish left. So there's
the bay,
no whales coming in.
In up the bays. To the spawning ground for the small pollock, the small whiting,
yeah.
The small herrings.
It's really sad.
If you see, we get some of the pots, in the shrimp pots, but you would throw away the fish, you'll keep the shrimp. They're catching everything, Mary.